shall turn now to Exodus chapter 14 and consider this chapter together tonight. Here we have God's greatest deliverance of Israel. It's something like the resurrection in the New Testament, a supreme demonstration of God's saving power. Time and time again, Israel are reminded of how God saved them at the Red Sea, how he cut a passage for them through the sea and drowned their enemies. God saved his people with a mighty hand. And Israel are asked to remember what God did at the Red Sea and to gain courage from that, to be strong and to be confident because of it. We are to remember what Christ did at Calvary and how he rose on the third day triumphant over death on the grave. We have a risen and powerful Saviour, and we are to know something of the power of his resurrection working in our lives. And in a very real sense also, we are to remember our own Red Sea experience. When we left the land of Egypt behind and began the wilderness journey to the promised land, the Red Sea of the new birth, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and of a new life in Christ. God delivered us. He delivered us from Satan. He delivered us from the world. He delivered us from the dominion of sin and slavery to evil. And he gave to us the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, the first thing I would like you to notice tonight is that God sometimes leads us into trials. You see that in verses 1 to 4. Many people think that God's guidance is a guidance out of trials, out of difficulties, and into an easier way of life. But trials are God's will. They have a purpose. They are for the strengthening of our faith. They are for developing our Christian graces. How can our faith grow? How can our perseverance develop without trials? Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into trial." Nobody wants to be tried. None of us wish to be tempted. But sometimes it's God's will. So he adds, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When we are tried, when we are tested, when we are in difficulty, deliver us. Show to us the way of escape. Take us through it. Give to us victory. Let us not fall. Let us not be destroyed in the trial. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So here are the children of Israel. And they set out for the land of promise. And they've got the pillar of cloud in front of them by day, and the pillar of fire by night. Wonderful to have such clear guidance. They know exactly where to go. The Lord is leading. They are watching. They are following. They're getting their directions from God. And then something a little bit unusual happens in verse 2. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn." One commentator translates it, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn back." You see, they were heading for the land of promise. They were marching out of Egypt eastward. Now they must turn. Turn back, as it were. Turn down south, down to the west coast of the Red Sea. That was a very strange move. It would look to Pharaoh as if they'd lost their way. Instead of escaping from Egypt, it seemed that they were getting entangled in the wilderness. Camp, said God, at Pi-hahiroth, and there they would have mountains in front of them to the south, mountains on the right hand to the west, and the sea to the east. And Pharaoh will say the children of Israel are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. They don't know where they're going. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God was bringing his people into a difficult situation. A place where their faith would be tested. A time when they would wonder, where are we going to go? We're finished. We're lost. We're doomed. We can't go on. We're stuck. And the Egyptians will destroy us. Let's remember, trials have their place. It struck me again this afternoon when I was reading a little sermon by J.C. Ryle. And it was talking about the wonderful privileges of God's people. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Then it adds something I'd never really noticed was connected to it. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Wonderful. We are God's children. We are special. God loves us. Everything's going to work out great for us. We've got an inheritance in heaven. But remember, Christ suffered. You will suffer. Christ had his cross. You will have your cross. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Yes. Sometimes we are led into trials. And they are hard trials. And they really test us. And we wonder why. And we wonder how can we get through this. And it comes upon us as a great weight. And we don't know what we're supposed to do. And we're frightened that we've got into such a mess that we're going to be destroyed. And yet we have been praying for guidance. And we've been looking to God's Word. And God's Word, it seems, is leading us in a certain way. And as we pray, we seem to be led in a certain way. And then we get stuck. But God knows what he's doing. And he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. Second thing to notice, Pharaoh's madness, verses 5 to 9. It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? You see, Pharaoh had his spies, and they were following the Israelites, and they were watching their every move, and reporting back to Pharaoh what had happened. And Pharaoh gets told that Israel have, surprisingly and strangely, turned back, and they're entangled, it seems. And Pharaoh begins to think, what have I done? I've let Israel go. And Pharaoh's servants too, and his courtiers and his advisors turned against the people of Israel. And they think, what's going to happen to us? Our economy has been built upon slave labor. And now we're losing all our slaves. We're letting them go. It must have been very hard in the southern American states in the 19th century when the law came out against slavery. Because their whole economy, their plantations and so on were run by the slaves. And they were getting great riches through making use of these slaves. And then the law came in against slavery. And so there was that civil war. But the slaves were set free. And the whole economy changed so much. The love of money is the root of all evil. How much wickedness goes on out of a desire to be rich and to keep riches and to continue successful as far as monetary things are concerned. And so here are the Egyptians, the love of money working upon them, and they decide, we're going to go and get these Israelites back. They're stuck, they're captured, they're waiting for us to get a hold of them. The mountains around them, the sea on the side, we'll descend on them and we'll drive them back and get them back to work, building the cities, working in the fields, making the bricks. How foolish Pharaoh was. He had seen God's mighty hand, the finger of the Lord. 10 terrible plagues. And the last one, so threatening and so fearful, every single house in Egypt lost a firstborn. How can you fight with God? And yet many people fight with God. Many people, they think they can do what they like. And they think they can blaspheme God. And they can trample His laws underfoot without any judgment coming upon them. They think they can despise His commandments and His gospel. What will happen? God's judgment will certainly come. Proud man shakes his fist at his Creator, but he that in heaven sits shall laugh. And there's nothing more terrible. People talk about God laughing in heaven and God's sense of humor. Well, if you look at the references to God's laughing in heaven, they're about the most frightening and horrible of anything that you can read about in the Bible. Nobody would like to see God laughing. When God laughs, it's to destroy His enemies, to crush them, and to break them in pieces with His rod of iron. And here is Egypt fighting with God. And there's so many in our own day fighting with God and with His law. Thirdly, notice Israel's unbelief. Verses 10 to 12. Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. There was Pharaoh with his 600 chosen chariots, with his army, his horsemen. And Israel can hear the noise in the distance, and they look, and the dust from the sand as it's churned up by the horses and the chariots. And they wonder, what is it? And as it gets clear, closer, it becomes clearer. It's an army. It's Pharaoh and his horses and his chariots. And Israel have no weapons. They're just runaway slaves. How can they fight against the trained soldiers of Egypt? How can they fight against Pharaoh's chariots? And unbelief breaks in. The They're sore afraid. Was it not reasonable and sensible to be sore afraid? How would you and I feel if we were in that situation? And there was cavalry and chariots charging down on us with war cries and venom in their faces. How would we feel if tanks were coming, crashing through every barrier towards us to destroy us? Were there no graves in the land of Egypt, say the Israelites, if thou hast taken us to die in the wilderness? Rather ironical. The Egyptians were great on their graves, weren't they? You think of the pyramids of Egypt. What were the pyramids but just glorified graves? And then the Egyptians mummified their dead. And just recently we're hearing about hundreds of thousands of animals even that they mummified. They laid such emphasis upon graves. There's plenty graves in Egypt. Oh yes, plenty graves. Well, why then did you take us out into the desert so that our bodies would be lain strewn in the desert, destroyed by these Egyptians? Did we not say to you in the land of Egypt, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? You know, it is the problem. Looking at the horizontal and forgetting the vertical. Looking at the problems around and forgetting God. Look up. Look up. Peter, he steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water towards Jesus. And he has his eyes on Jesus and he's able to walk upon the waters. But then he looks down at the waves, at the sea, and he begins to sink. And here are the Egyptians looking down at the waves and at the sea and sinking. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking at the throne. And you won't sink. And you won't panic. And you won't be disturbed and distressed. There's no disasters if we keep looking to God. Keep our eyes fixed on Him. By faith we conquer. Perfect love casts out fear. Faith casts out fear. Keep loving God, trusting in God. God has a great love for you and a great concern for you, and He will see that all things work out for the best. Keep going, but looking to the Lord. And then you will be sure of victory. But focus your attention on the problems, on the difficulties, on the enemies, and you'll sink. You'll despair. You'll cry out as Israel did. Were there no graves in the land of Egypt that thou hast taken us out into the desert to die here? The problem is forgetting God. Then, next, Moses' confidence, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, how could Moses say that? Well, he could certainly say it on the basis of what he had already experienced. The child of God looks back and profits from every experience. The trials that we go through encourage us that we will go through every trial. The God who has taken us through the fire yesterday will take us through the fire today and tomorrow. whatever rivers are in our pathway, whatever deep waters we have to cross, the God who has enabled us to pass through the waters and has been with us, will be with us in every river and in every water we have to pass through in the future. Moses has confidence in God. We're not told whether God specifically revealed this to him at that time, but we know that he could certainly deduce it, that the Lord, one way or another, would destroy the Egyptians and save his people. Learn from your experiences. Learn from the experiences of other Christians. Learn from the history of the people of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and down through the centuries. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We need to have that calm trust in God which Moses showed. Fifthly, Moses' prayer. Verses 15 to 18. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses had just told them, God's going to deliver you. The Egyptians that you see today, you're not going to see them again. God is going to obliterate them. He'll wipe them out. And then in the next verse we're told that Moses was crying. Crying. That's earnest prayer, isn't it? Wherefore criest thou unto me? You see, crying and faith go together. Earnest prayer and total trust go together. Think of Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. There's the psalmist, waiting, patiently, trusting, depending, relying upon the Lord. But he was also praying, and praying earnestly. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. So prayer and faith, earnest prayer, crying prayer and faith are not opposites, but actually work in harmony together. Moses' prayer, wherefore criest thou unto me? Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward? Where? Mountains on either side? The sea? Where can we go? Go forward. But there's nowhere to go. Go forward. How can I go forward? The way is blocked. Go forward. God with a trial makes a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. God always has a way forward for us. Go forward and not backward. Instead of backsliding, go forward. When you're tempted to sin on every side and pressured in every way to do that which is wrong, go forward. Press on. Strike through. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's a great message. Go forward. And then Moses is told, lift up your rod, lift up your hand over the sea. With your rod, divide it, that the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow me, and they will follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Go forward. Lift your rod. Stretch it over the sea. The next thing we notice is light and darkness. Verses 19 and 20. God is light to one and darkness to another. The angel of the Lord which went before the camp of Israel, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, it turned and it went behind them. And the cloud was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites. There were the Egyptians, and they're coming charging towards Israel, but night is closing in. And as the night closes in, there's this cloud that comes over the Egyptians. There's not a star to be seen in the night. Darkness. Thick darkness. Cloudy, foggy darkness. They cannot see their way ahead. And then at the other side of the pillar of cloud, bright like floodlights. God showing the way to his people. The pillar of fire like a great bright floodlight showing the pathway through the sea. Amazing how the Lord protects his people. How he brings darkness upon their enemies and gives light to his people. God is a light to some and a darkness to others. Can you say in truth, the Lord's my light and saving help. I shall not be dismayed. I shall not be afraid. The Lord is my light. The Lord gives light. Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth. Let thy light guide me. Show me the way. Yes, God will show us the way. He promised to guide us. He will be a light, a pillar of fire to guide us through darkest nights. He will guide us with his light, with his word, with his Bible. Everything we need to know is there. We sometimes think it must have been so much easier for the children of Israel to know the way because they had that pillar in front of them. But you and I, we have the Bible. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. An anointing from God. And if you wait upon the Lord, you'll never go astray. If you commit your ways to Him, you won't go the wrong way. He will guide. He will direct. The Lord is light. And the Lord gives light and guidance and joy to his people Israel, but he's dark and confusing upon the Egyptians and upon the wicked. And so, verses 21 and 22, God's miraculous deliverance. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back with a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. Children of Israel went through waters on the right hand and on the left, a wall to them. Now some people say, oh, there must have been a great tide. It was a special tide, and the tide, this very big tide, along with the wind, you know, blowing the water. And so there was a pathway for them to go through. And then later on the waters came back because the Egyptians were behind and they got caught in it. People try their hardest to explain away the miracles of the Bible. But this was a miracle. The waters weren't just on one side. They were on both sides. On the right and on the left as a wall. And the wind which blew back the waters. Well, if it was just the wind that was keeping the waters, how do you think the Israelites would have been able to walk into that wind. A wind that would make a channel through the sea. Just imagine how you'd try to walk with all your belongings, trying to push against that wind. It would be impossible. No, the wind here, yes, it's like the wind that we read of earlier on, which brought in the locusts from the desert, the plague of locusts, the strong east wind. And that was followed by the west wind when the locusts were blown into the sea. So the wind, as it were, yes, it's there. It's blowing, but there's more than just wind. There's the power of God separating the waters before the Israelites so that there's this dry pathway for them right through the sea. God's miraculous deliverance. There is a way of escape. Say to the Israelites that they go forward. And they went forward. And then we notice verses 23 to 25, Egypt's folly. They see this miracle. They know what is happening. They can see this pathway through the sea. And you would think that they would take to heart what is going on. That they would think of all the ways in which the Lord has been punishing them for their oppression of Israel and because they were keeping Israel as slaves. But they go straight in to the sea. They, as it were, they can see the trap, and yet they walk straight into it. It's like putting their head in a noose, walking into the snare. Surely it would be so obvious to them. But you see, they're so fanatical, just like so many in our own day. Fanatical in their godlessness, fanatical in their pursuit of pleasure, fanatical in their wickedness and their defiance of God. And they run on into sin and they think everything's fine and we're popular and lots of people approve of what we're doing and we're going to do so well and we're going to be great and we're going to enjoy ourselves and we'll have pleasure. And God will turn it all to their destruction. The Egyptians' folly, there they are, chasing after Israel. So obviously God is supernaturally providing for his people, guiding them through the sea. But they trust in their own power and wisdom and they think they can fight with God. And we're told, verse 24, that the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and trouble the host of the Egyptians. God looks. The wonderful thing when the Lord looks down on us in mercy. And it's a terrible thing when God looks down upon us in judgment. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." There they were in their chariots, charging after Israel. But their chariot wheels began to sink in the sand and in the clay. And then the wheels began, the axles breaking and the wheels coming off. And everything that could go wrong started to go wrong. And there was one trouble on top of the next. And they were stumbling and falling and confused, and the darkness was adding to it all. And in the end, the truth dawns on them. This is not working out. God is fighting for Israel. And if we don't watch out, we're going to be in big trouble. And in the end, they turn to flee. But it's too late. You see, there's a day of grace, a day of salvation, and there's a time when it's too late. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But there's a time when he can't be found. And there's a time when he's not near. And if we don't make use of the day of grace, we will find God coming to us in a day of wrath. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is the day of judgment. The Egyptians' folly. They can see, as it would be put by men and women today, that their luck is running out. And so, final devastation. Verse 26. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand again over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one. Moses stretched forth his hand, and the sea returned. And you can just imagine the great tsunami. This tremendous wave of water. And the Egyptians turning and fleeing. Remember the great tsunami a few years ago in Southeast Asia, in Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and also in Indonesia and Malaysia and these places. And people seeing the waters receding, and they began to walk down, some of them walking down the beaches, amazed at how low the waters had gone. And then suddenly, the great wave comes, and they turn and they flee. But for many, for thousands of them, it was too late. The wave came crashing in and drowned them and destroyed them. And here is the great wave of God's judgment, the Red Sea, crashing upon the horses and chariots of Egypt. And the children of Israel walked on upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters are walled to protect them on the right hand and on the left. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. What a thought it must have given to these Israelites. The next morning, as they saw on the seashore the bodies of their enemies, as they saw the bodies floating in the sea and being cast up dead upon the shore, the mighty soldiers of Egypt, pathetic matchsticks when it came to the judgment and the waves of God's wrath upon them and his destruction. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They believed God. They benefited from the trial. It taught them faith. By faith, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. Hebrews 11. By faith, crossing the Red Sea. By faith, their enemies drowned in the Red Sea. Glory be to God. God saved Israel. And the God who saved Israel, he's still the same. Hasn't changed. He's the God who saves us. The God who helps us through our trials. Who brings us through fire and water to our wealthy place. Do we know him? Do we trust in him? And let us always remember that God is judge. And the sea, which was a wall to protect the Israelites, was devastating destruction to the Egyptians. Let us make sure that we are Israelites. Make sure you are the people of God. Make sure you have faith in Him. Make sure you have God fighting for you and not fighting against you.